Meetings during the season of Lent have one basic purpose, and as I mentioned before to those of you who come here every Sunday, the reason for the scripture readings on the Sundays of Lent is to teach the catechumens what it means to be a Catholic. Now, these are the people who have yet to be baptized. They've been studying to be Catholics for the better part of a year. But in the last 6 weeks, the church asked them to focus in a very special way and to be more serious than ever about their Christian formation, so that when Easter comes, they're able to mean it when they reject sin and embrace Jesus Christ. So the readings are designed for those who have not yet been baptized. What about us? Most of us here tonight have been baptized a long time ago, generally when we were babies. So what does Lent mean for us? And what Lent means for us is that we're preparing ourselves to recommit ourselves to our baptismal promises at Easter. And perhaps some of us, even though we're 30 or 40 years old, will be inspired by the season of Lent to become Catholics, real Catholics, for the first time. You know, to be a Catholic doesn't mean simply that we were baptized many years ago. It doesn't mean simply that we come from a Catholic family and is part of our family tradition. To be a Catholic means to live faithfully in a day-to-day way the promises of our baptism. And if we don't do that, we may have, you know, gone to a Catholic school, we may have that wonderful background, but we're not yet Catholics. And Lent is the opportunity every year for us to get serious again about being all that God calls us to be. And that applies to everyone here, from the bishop to the youngest member of our community, to start over again. And so we ask the Lord to give us ears tonight to listen to these readings as though it were the first time we've heard them. And when we hear them for the first time, they should astonish us, especially today's scripture readings. They are rather astonishing. One of the things that we try to do at Easter, on Easter Sunday, is renew the covenant between God and ourselves. As I mentioned last week, a covenant is a promise. It's a contract where God promises us something and we promise God something in return. Last Sunday, we heard about the covenant or the promise God made to Noah. Tonight, we hear about God's promise, the covenant he made with Abraham. And in the church, we call Abraham our father in faith. And that means that the faith of Abraham, who was a Jew, is the faith on which the Catholic community's faith is built. Abraham is your father and my father in faith. So we ask the Lord to help us enter into the story and understand it so we might apply it to our own lives. The reading begins by telling us God put Abraham to the test. You know, all of us here, if we're going to become serious Christians, get there by having our faith tested. And when our faith is tested, we either give up or we commit ourselves more deeply to our faith. And that happened in the life of Abraham. I want to review his story. He was a very old man. He was 75 years old, 10 years older than I am, when God called him to leave his country behind and go to the promised land. And God told him that if he did that, God would make Abraham the father of many nations. Abraham was 75 years old, and his wife Sarah was probably the same age, well past the age of having children. But Abraham trusted God And because he trusted God, God gave him a son whose name is Isaac. And today's first reading is about the second test that God gave Abraham. Listen to the word of God. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham." He replied, "Here I am." That's supposed to be the response of all of us when God calls us, to make ourselves available to God. And that's what Abraham did. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac," that boy I just told you about, who was born in Abraham and Sarah's very old age, "take your son Isaac, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on the height I will point out to you." Now, what's a holocaust? You know, we know that term in relationship to the death of 6 million Jews in Germany and Poland at the end of World War II. But the word means a complete offering of something. The Jews had the practice of offering sacrifice in the temple. And they'd take an animal and they'd kill it, and they'd put it on the altar, and they would burn it so that every part of that animal would be an offering to God. And in this reading, Abraham thought that God was asking him to take his only son, the son he loved very much, the fulfillment of God's earlier promise, and to offer that son as a holocaust sacrifice on an altar, on a mountain in the wilderness. And he was willing to do it. Now, how could God ask such a thing? Well, we're not sure he did. You know, the Jews, I shouldn't say the Jews because the Jews didn't exist at this time, but Abraham and his family lived in a place in the Middle East where their neighbors would often offer infant sacrifices to the false gods. The Canaanites did that, the Phoenicians did that. And Abraham, like so many of us, seems to have been tempted by the culture in which he lived. He was tempted to do this because everyone around was doing that, thinking it would somehow please the false gods. And Abraham was put to the test by God, who allowed him to think this. And thinking this awful thing, he was willing to do that because he trusted that God somehow would take care of him, his son, and his family. Well, you know the rest of the story if you were listening. You know, he took his son, tied him hand behind his back, laid him on the altar, and pulled out the knife and was ready to kill him when an angel of the Lord, sent by God, said these words, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do the least thing to him. I know how devoted you are to me, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." And then Abraham saw a ram in the bushes and took the ram, and they offered the ram in sacrifice. And then because Abraham trusted God, God said this to him. He made a promise. "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. In your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All of this because you obeyed me." And all of us here in church tonight are proof that God keeps his promise. Because you and I and all the Christians who've gone before us and all the Christians who will follow us, as numberless as the stars in the sky and the sea, and the grains of sand on the seashore, are sons and daughters of Abraham. God keeps his promise. Now, when you were baptized, if you were a baby, your parents made promises for you. They entered into a contract with God. They promised that you would keep the faith, you would become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And God, on his part, promised you and promised me the gift of eternal life. Now, you and I, since Abraham is our father in faith, are invited by today's scripture readings to make his promise our own. And that promise is a simple one, that we will trust God with our whole life, with our families, with everything they are. We promise to follow God wherever he leads us. And if we do that, God promises that he will be our God and we will be his people. Now, how many of you here have kept that promise? Don't raise your hands. Because if anybody here says he or she's kept that promise faithfully, you're a liar. You know, and so am I. You know, we've constantly fallen away from the promises of our baptism. And that's why we need this season of Lent, as I've said many times before, to slap ourselves in the face, to listen to the Word of God, and to change our lives. Now, why is the first reading about Abraham connected with today's gospel reading, which is the story of Jesus' transfiguration before his apostles, Peter, James, and John? I'd like to point that out to you before I look at today's gospel reading. You know, when the Christian community looked at the story of Abraham offering his son Isaac as a sacrifice, they thought that that was a story that prefigured what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Abraham was willing to offer his son as a sacrifice to God. God stopped him from doing that. But in Jesus Christ, God offers his glorious son in today's gospel as a sacrifice for you and for me. And he followed through on it. Jesus died on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins because his Father loved us. What Abraham began, God the Father finished in the sacrifices of his son Jesus on the cross. And that's why today's gospel is here, because we're supposed to listen closely to the parallels between Jesus and Isaac. So let's look at today's gospel reading. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his best friends, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. In the Bible, whenever the Jewish people go to the mountains, they go there to encounter God. God reveals himself on Mount Sinai, on the mountain of Moriah that was described in today's first reading, and many other mountains. The gospel goes on to say, and he was transfigured before them. Transfigured means to be changed. His clothes became dazzling white, so much so that a fuller was somebody who bleached cloth. No fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared. Elijah was the first prophet of the Old Testament. And Moses was the leader of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land. And they represented the past traditions of the Jews. And they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in response to this experience, Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's not get over this. Let's stay here in this experience. Let me make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And the commentator here, St. Mark, says he hardly knew what to say. He was so terrified. And Peter was talking nonsense. Then a cloud came. A cloud always represented the presence of God in the Old Testament, casting a shadow over them, and from this cloud came a voice which said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." You might remember that in the Bible, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, when Jesus came out of the water, a dove appeared, and the voice of God spoke from heaven, and the voice at that time said to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That voice of God spoke to Jesus. But at this time, the voice of God speaks to us and identifies who Jesus is, the glorious Son of God. And we're told that we're supposed to keep on listening to him. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to listen closely to Jesus when he speaks to us. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus told them not to tell anyone about this until he rose from the dead. And they talked, what does he mean? He's going to rise from the dead. And we know the story, of course, that Jesus was crucified on the cross and then rose gloriously from the dead, much like Jesus was seen by Peter, James, and John in this gospel story. Now, how do we apply this to ourselves? Well, Jesus is the glorious Son of God, and we're supposed to listen to him. The word in Greek is akoute, which translated literally would be keep on listening to him. You know, to be a Christian isn't something that happened once a long time ago when we were babies. Our education doesn't stop when we're in the sixth grade and we get confirmed. You know, I think that's sadly the case for many of us. You know, we have the sixth grade education as a Christian. We might have a college degree in something else, but our faith is very immature. And the process of being a Christian is every year throughout our lives to keep on listening to Jesus, who died for us because the Father loves us and allowed himself, his Son Jesus, to sacrifice himself for our salvation. All that summarized very beautifully in today's second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I'm going to close with these words. Listen to these words. They're beautiful, and they tell us the truth. "Brothers and sisters," St. Paul says to you and me, "if God is for us," and we know he is because Jesus died for us on the cross, "if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son," even though Abraham spared his son, "but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything along with him?" You and I can trust God. We can give him our life. We can give him our family. He's proven his love for us because Jesus died on the cross. We ask the Lord to help us hear these words deeply in our heart and allow them to transform us as we prepare for Easter.